You know what that sound means? Oh, yeah. It means it's time for another episode of Brainstorm Brewery, your favorite podcaster's favorite podcast. I'm your favorite podcaster, Jason Ault. I'm joined by my two guests. Returning, I guess he's a host emeritus of the podcast. Returning to us after a brief stint of not being on the cast, Ryan Bouchard. Go ahead and say hello, Ryan.
What's up? I'm hoping to be back in more regularly now. Living back in Michigan now, so doing my own thing again for a little while and see how that goes. But I'm excited to be back around. Hopefully, you know, I said once a month before, we'll see how that goes. Maybe it'd be more, maybe it'd be less.
Okay, so we can't really schedule the podcast because Ryan's not going to give us anything firm, but that's cool. We're joined tonight by a longtime guest, Mr. Douglas DJ Johnson.
Not a single fart noise in that intro. I'm proud of you, Jason.
I use fart noises to accentuate that what Corbin is saying is something dumb, not really because I like the sound of fart noises. Actually, that's a lie. I taught my daughter a joke. So when we're public, I'm like, Lily, tell a joke. And she says, what sound does a butt make?
It's not really a joke.
You know what? She's two. So that's easy for her to remember. I can't be teaching her a joke with like three dudes walking into a bar or whatever. She can remember what sound does a butt make. So that's what she's about.
I
mean,
I just feel like she could know a lot of other quote unquote loose jokes like that that didn't involve fart noises.
But they wouldn't be as funny to her.
But yeah, you're her dad, so that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. I am her dad. If you'll notice, it's a little brighter in my basement, those of you who are watching this on YouTube. I was going to take out one of the light bulbs to replace it, and I lifted Lily up, and then she kind of hit the ceiling, and the light turned on, and it was miraculous. My wife cried, and then Lily said, I'm tired, boss. Dog tired. And then we killed her in an electric chair, so that was my week.
Jesus.
You guys have a good week too. Awesome. So let's get into the podcast, shall we? Let's start out by saying, hey, if you would like one of the glasses, like the one I'm drinking out of, they're coming soon. We are restocking fully, and we're going to send people with the bag glasses. If you got bag glasses, let us know. We'll send you some good ones. We're going to send
more good ones.
What's that?
What if I just want more good ones?
That wasn't part of what he said.
I'll send you we'll sell them in the shop. How about that? I'm gonna place another order the same size. People were asking about the shop. If you got some good glasses and you would like some more, you don't have to come up with a second identity for the Patreon. You'll be able to buy them in the shop at brainstormbrewery.com/shop probably. So that to answer Ryan's question, great. If you've got shitty glasses, we'll send you good ones. If you want more good ones, you can buy them. If you don't have any glasses at all, you're subscribed at $20 per month at patreon.com/brainstormbrewery. You will get the glasses when I get them. So that's the update on that. If you bought a shirt or hoodie and you think it looks like trash from our last Teespring order, we have gotten the word now that our only recourse is to send them in for a refund. I'm going to be launching a new campaign. You can just send in the old stuff that looks like crap, and they'll send you a credit to your account. You use that credit to buy the new stuff and send us a message. I will reimburse you for the cost of shipping the shirt back in. I wish we could do more for you. They will not let us. So I will put instructions in the show notes for how to do that.
You didn't stick Marcel on them, did you?
Well, you know,
Marcel is an experienced customer service.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, if Marcel had done this, we'd be getting free shirts, and they'd
or
probably
we'd be getting threatened with a lawsuit,
had.
You know.
It goes both ways.
Or both.
But. Marcel's only got one speed, and that is...
full aggro.
Yeah.
He is Rakdos to the heart. He'll never say it, but he really is.
For all the bitching he does about Scalding Tarn, he is certainly Rakdos.
Yep, so that's the update on that kind of stuff. So I guess we can kind of get into some of the standard prices. I've noticed the price of that Steamkin card continues to go up.
Yeah, the card's sweet. I'm really excited about, you know, all the possible modern and legacy brews that people have met us with, obviously standard. And then I'm on Facebook, and of course Corbin's shilling himself out. with his TCG articles, and he's got one of those mining modern ones, I think. It was so steam kin and like bushwhacker and stuff. And I kind of didn't even think about the fact that it was Corbin at first. And I just clicked on it. I was like, oh god, I don't want to watch this guy. But I was really interested in the deck, so I started watching. And, you know, Corbin's actually pretty entertaining. I have to give it to him. I really liked his series. I end up kind of getting sucked into the black hole that is Mining Modern, along with his standard brew decks. And he puts on a good series over the TCG player. But he really has to... I have not been so livid and angry and yelling at someone playing Magic since I was a kid watching the Pro Tour or GPs. Like, he got me emotionally invested in a lot of the games, not because the decks were awesome, because they were that, but because he was so bad so often. And just, he made so many of the, there was just multiple plays. There was one where I sent him a screenshot. I don't remember what it was exactly, but he had a chance. Oh, I do. So he had a Cataclysmic Gear Hulk. He's playing this like mono white deck with like tokens and playing the white monument and stuff. This is in Modern, and the deck looks pretty sweet. Actually, I was kind of surprised. And so he casts Cataclysm and Gearhulk, blowing his opponent out. His opponent like rebuilds the next turn, and Corbin's like, "Oh, I guess we're just dead here." And he has White Mane Lion in his hand, so all he has to do is like cast White Mane Lion, get back Cataclysm, Gearhulk. Instead, he just snap concedes. I was like, "Oh yeah, that's this Corbin, excellent." And so like, there's just multiple points where I got angry at Corbin.
If it's not blue creatures turning sideways with fins, Corbin's really bad at Magic. And if it is blue creatures,
he's still not great at Magic.
I've learned that Corbin is not as good at Magic as he made us try and believe on this podcast. And now I understand why he only does video and audio and stuff for the Pro Tour and not actually sitting there playing. But yeah, no, that was just my Corbin rant. I did have to give him props. I mean, I sent it in the same message there that we're in that group chat, Jason. So you can attest to this. I went off on quite the tirade, but I did have to give him props. This series is pretty darn good.
Next time you come up with a screenshot and make fun of him, you should post that in our Discord server. Patrons who give us as little as $1 per month, which is 20 to 25 cents an episode, have access to the Discord server, and that's super duper worth it.
The Photoshop skills on a couple of our patrons are unsettlingly.
If you're like, hey, did Jason get memed a ton for what he said about the Polish? Yes, I did.
So. All right. That's good to know. I'll be putting those services to use. I have some photos of Corbin from a while back at GPs that I think we could do have some fun with.
Oh, and if any of you were offended by what we said last week, I just want you guys to know that after what I said about the Polish, my wife did not have sex with me for a week. Not because she's Polish, but because we're married.
I want to know what you said now, but I want to go listen again.
Are you sure it's not because there's a picture of two giraffes having intercourse with your face photoshopped onto one of them? Did she see that picture? In the Discord?
It was so realistic, the Photoshop. I don't want her to think that I cheated on her with a giraffe, so don't show it to her. Because the Photoshop of my face onto the giraffe's head is seamless.
All right, I got to go look at Discord now. Where is this?
Maybe
the podcast
should.
Feedback channel. Oh, where our supporters.
I'm really bad about it. Everyone knows how notoriously good I am with technology, and I am on this Discord finally. I at least got there, but I
so Ryan's there, Marcel's there, Corbin's there, I'm there.
Corbin's not
DJ's
there. We have a highly Turing tested bot that is very, very good at acting like Corbin.
I am Corbot.
It's very good at going into the politics channel and accusing everyone of being wrong all the time.
Yeah. If you're not a centrist, you're wrong. So, yeah, I'd honestly, if you are only mildly interested in this podcast, I think $1 a month is pretty $12 a year for the amount of entertainment you'll get just from the Discord server and some of the stuff that you'll get, like announcements we like to make in there. I honestly think it's worth $1. I don't know why anyone would give us $20, especially because they're never going to get those glasses. I don't know why anybody would give us more than $1, but I think $1 is pretty reasonable for the amount of value.
There's a couple other scaling levels too, between 1 and 20, and one of them will be able to know what this Invasion Red Uncommon is before the next few minutes. You can look it up on a spreadsheet.
Breaking bolt time. Breaking bolt time. Break.
Oh yeah, breaking bulk. There's so much good stuff.
It's a pick. Breaking bulk.
I've got Invasion Red Uncommon here. It's never
Invasion
been reprinted.
Invasion Red Uncommon. Is it Shivan Harvest?
Nailed it. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that card's so good.
This is a card where you have to read it three or four times to realize that it's as good as it is. It is very niche in that it only goes in a few certain decks. You can't just throw it in every red deck. But it is one in a red enchantment. And then the activation cost is also one in a red. Sacrifice a creature, destroy target non-basic land. So all of your creatures become mini Stone Rains, mini Wastelands for
it's
two
so
mana.
Good.
And you're just like, oh, that's a Gaia's Cradle? Not for this two mana and a goblin token. It's not bonk. I used to play it in...
Put that card in my deck.
I used to play it in Grixis Marchesa, where my creatures had Undying and sort of reverse Undying, whatever you want to call Marchesa's dethronedness ability.
Dethrone Dying.
Yeah, Dethrone Dying. But it's a very good card in a red X token shenanigan deck just to keep people off. Card Kingdom will happily pay you 12 cents on them. I actually think this is one of those cards where you pull out a bulk and then you wait for other people to learn how good it is. And then you
wait for them
getting...
to talk about it on the EDH Rec podcast.
Yeah, you just wait for some other content creator, wait for some video to come out with this card seeing play. It's never been reprinted. It's from Invasion. So the second somebody puts this in an EDH deck tech or anything along those lines, this card suddenly is $1 to $2. I think it's worth more than 10 cents. I probably could have used it as a pick of the week, and I'm just now realizing that. But, Breaking Bulk, Shivan Harvest.
Alliances Green Uncommon.
Is Kai'Sa rare?
Kai'Sa is rare.
Okay.
This is under a buck retail, but it's starting to sell out everywhere. Like, Card Shark has... Card Shark and TCG Player are the only places to have this. Card Kingdom sold out, you know, basically everywhere that gets scraped by MTG price. The only place that's got this is TCG Player. Ooh. It's under a buck for now, but this is an uncommon from Alliances. It is green, and it is predicated, I will tell you, on the new Amara decks.
Is it the bounty card?
No. The green Force of Will? No.
Yeah.
It's not.
And no, that card's not in Alliances. It's not the Fraelis's card.
Yeah, I was thinking Fraelis's wins, but that's not it.
It's one green mana for an enchant creature. I'm giving you guys a lot, but this card's really obscure.
Yeah,
it only started to pop up because of Amara.
I hope I'm picking these. I'm going through a bunch of Alliances right now. I don't know what this is. Is it a new pick? Like, was it worth anything before?
It was close to a buck retail. It was just, like, secretly good, but now it's just starting to sell out at its old price.
Oh, okay. So it's always been worth something.
Uh-huh. Huh. God, it was always a pick.
Right now, I should know this.
The card's Nature's Chosen. It's an enchant creature.
Yeah.
So you pay zero to untap a creature, and you can only do this once per turn, or you can pay zero to tap the enchanted creature to untap an artifact creature or land. So you put this on Amara, you untap Amara, you tap it again to untap your Gaia's Cradle or whatever, and then you untap Amara to use again. It's it's good.
That's neat.
It was made to go in the Amara decks, basically. You know, it was people were using it Selvala before. Selvara, not the Heart of the Wilds, the other one, Explorer.
Yes, yeah, so
actually, you know what?
Returned.
No, Heart of the Wilds was using this a little bit too. Rhys, Yisen, Roshan, Meanderer, Sese. You know, it's better on white creatures, obviously. Than on like Roshan Meanderer, but it was a pick before. It's in about 300 decks on EDH Rec. I think it goes up because it's starting to sell out. So that's what made me think more people are on it than normal. These Guilds of Ravnica commanders kind of suck. Nobody seems real interested. More people are building. You know, you go on the EDH Rec, the top commanders page, and you expect to see it. You know. Just completely populated by the new commanders, but like Muldrotha and Atraxa are still 1 and 2 this week. Then Niv-Mizzet, then Marin, Edgar Markov, then Lazav. You know, and then it's not till 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 commanders later that Amara, the third Guilds of Ravnica, won in the top 21. So it's not looking good for Guilds of Ravnica.
Yeah, none
all
of
these
the,
commanders.
I mean...
there's nothing new here, right?
They're all good.
I'm surprised.
None of them are actively... none of them are actively bad, but none of them do anything new or interesting or exciting that we haven't seen from these color combinations before. Green-white's still tokens. Red-white is still garbage. Black Blue is still some weird variation of Mill. I mean, Atrada's a little interesting.
Atrada's new, but it's so finicky. Nobody seems really interested. Like, if more people were building Atrada, you'd see some of these cards like Visions vanishing.
Yeah.
You know? Atrada's the enchanted creature
new,
phases
but
out.
She's very, very hard to be successful with, I think.
Yeah, it's just like a blue-black good stuff. If Atrada does start to catch on, some of the signature cards in that deck I would pull out of bulk are Vanishing. Flesh Writhe, which is a card that transfigures. It's the only card in Magic with the Transfigure ability.
Yep, that was my pick of the week a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you're on that. And maybe something like Dimir Houseguard or what's that card? Distant Memories, maybe, to fish it out of the deck. Because you put it either your command zone or your hand. And if it ends up going in your hand... No, if it ends up going in your command zone, because nobody lets you put it in your hand, you draw three cards. So it's most likely going to go into your command zone. So that's a good way to fish it out of the deck. But, like, nobody seems excited. So, like, I'm writing these articles for MTG Price where normally I'd be like, oh, shit, here's all the Amara cards about to pop. And it's just, like, not really a thing. I think Nature's Chosen probably could get there, though.
Well,
what's that?
Azonia's
am I the only one
another...
that like really likes the Golgari General?
I mean, she's
I
not.
Like that card. I was like, that's...
I like Azonia a lot,
she's
actually, but nobody's
but
building
she just
it.
Doesn't feel any thematically different than Savra, Gerard, or Marin. I think
it feels like a bad
yeah,
Marin.
Really, it feels like an upgrade to me. Maybe not. I guess.
I really like the deck a lot.
She feels very it's similar just... to Gerard, I mean... but Gerard kills the entire table instead of gaining you life. Like, both of
yeah,
those creatures
I think,
require
like,
you to dump a ton of creatures in your graveyard and then play them, but Gerard ends up being, like, a 12-12 for 4 mana that then you sack a Lord of Extinction and ace the table.
But if you're looking at cards from that deck, Zulaport Cutthroat just got a reprint in M25, Masters 25, so that would be something to look at. Maybe Blood Artist, that got reprinted in Commander, like, 13 months ago, so that'll be above $2, I think, pretty soon. Journey to Eternity, I think it probably already popped because of Standard.
Yeah.
But that's a card to look at. World
no,
Shaper, Creekwood Liege.
There's no, like, Arcades Sabbath, or there's no Hepatra. There's no, like, unique card that spawns a bunch of other previously unknown cards outside of, like, Nature's Chosen, like you said, for Amara. There's, like, one or two weird cards that might go up a little bit, but...
Well, I have
no,
a pick
like,
of the week.
Wall of
I have
Kelp.
A pick of the week that I think will be in Amara, Trostani, and Azoni, and I think that is enough exposure for it to be a decent pick of the week. Plus, it's a reserve list card, so you guys can probably already guess what it is, but I'm excited about that. But yeah, like, Guild's not doing as much for EDH as we'd hoped. It's just sort of giving us a lot of cards. There's a lot of new cards, you know, that are going in these decks, but...
Yeah, and Guild's also gave us the Guild kits to build around, too. Which,
yeah,
I mean, I don't think anybody who is deeply enfranchised in this game was super hyped about them to start out with. I don't think anybody really expected much of them, but they did give us a few specific reprints that were surprisingly needed. Like, Privileged Position is a card that's gone forever without a reprint. Shattering Spree is another one that everybody's just been waiting for, and that finally got
hit. These decks are really good. I don't know what they cost, but I do know there are, like, 12 rares and a bunch of really clutch uncommons in these. I think these are going to pull your pants down on some of your like cards you're invested in. Like, I think there might be some stuff you might want to just like maybe try to get out of. But like these decks, if you play them against each other, they're really well balanced against each other. It gives you those good looking lands. It gives you new art on 5 commanders.
It feels like a very good upgrade to what the dual decks were supposed to be, I think, even if they don't necessarily fill the same role. It's not like you buy one $20 product, then you pay them against each other. You do have to buy two. But they're very good for just casual level play. They'd have solid value in them. They're not like it's not like you're spending the money on the Planeswalker deck, which can be very hit or miss. It's just like you just spend the $20 on your guild kit, and then you have a solid product to play with friends, play casually, just sort of bring back that flavor style magic that
say
a lot
you
of
wanted to build
in.
An Amara deck, you're gonna want the Trostani, the Loxodon Hierarch, the Venerated Loxodon, the Armada Worm. Probably you'll probably want one of the Selesnyad Vanguils. You might want the Guild Mage, the Camaraderie, the Call of the Conclave, the Hour of Reckoning. Like, you're going to take so many of these cards, and then you get into the really good stuff, like Glare of Subdual. you know, growing ranks, privileged position, and tribunal.
Yeah, like, for sure.
This is a solid. This is $20 to get you like halfway to an EDH deck for a commander that didn't have a precon. So like I think this is a good EDH starter too, because like you're gonna have all the stuff you need.
Yeah,
you know, and plus some really sexy basic lands.
And one of the other aspects of Ravnica that we all really enjoy is that you can definitely predict a lot of the next cards over the next few months, because they have to synergize and equalize what the guilds get. If one guild gets something, every other guild has to get it too. So we know there's going to be lockets, we know there's going to be shocklands, and we know there's going to be a cycle of five guild kits. So we're going to have an Orzhov guild kit. There's a couple reprints in there that we can sort of predict, because all of the cards in these guild kits are from one specific set on any of the three Ravnica blocks.
Well, first of all, they have quite a few legendary creatures, like Aurelia the War Leader, Argus Kos, Razia.
Argus? Is it Argus or Agros?
Agros, whatever, man. I've never looked at this card. He's terrible.
He's the main Agris character of the original Ravnica novels.
I didn't read
How
the books, because I wanted to talk to girls, so I
didn't
read the books.
They're very good. Ryan, back me up here. The magic novels are very good for Ravnica.
The Ravnica one was fine.
Good.
It was super
MTG,
middle of the
Ryan.
Road.
Like, they're...
Like, it's nowhere, like, I mean, you want the really good ones, you gotta go back. Surprisingly, I feel like Magic writing got worse over the years.
I mean, Kamigawa is very good.
They will never make a better book than Arena, so they should just...
Brothers War. That was my favorite.
Kamigawa and Brothers War are the two best, I think, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, I can agree with
that.
That
Arena,
I actually
it's all
gave
about
a shit.
Gareth One Eye and the Turquoise Guild. Come on, guys, you don't remember the Turquoise Guild?
Man, I actually, like, Yumazao, like, Toshiro Yumazao was, he was my dude in middle school. That was when that came out for me, and I actually enjoyed those books a lot. Like, more than just as a magic book.
Middle school?
You're old, Jason.
I was in college, Jesus.
I might have been high school. What year was
I think
that?
It might have been high school. You're not that much younger.
Oh, no, yeah, no, I was like a junior in high school then. Never mind. I don't know why I was thinking it was something.
I was going to say, I was in middle school in 2006, 2007, so.
Jesus.
No, you weren't. You were like in elementary school.
No.
I was in sixth grade in 1996.
The grade year matched up for the year for me. So sixth grade was 2006, seventh grade was 2007. I graduated high school in 2012.
Oh, so you're
grade.
Exactly 10 years younger than me, because the year matched up with me for the grade too. I was in sixth grade in 96, seventh grade in 97.
Yep.
So you're exactly 10 years younger than me? Jesus. No wonder you don't know anything.
Mine's way off. I graduated in 2006, so I'm like right between the two of you. I'm closer to Jason by a year. So I'm 4 years younger than Jason, 6 years older than DJ. It makes sense.
That's cool.
How old are
so
you,
I think
DJ?
20.
No, you're like 20, right?
23.
So what do we think will be in the Simic deck? I'm kind of thinking there will just be like basically most of the legends, and then probably some pretty good cards, like maybe a Void Slime or a Plasm Capture or both.
Plasm Capture is going to hit to death. Please, no.
I could... Man, I would not hate a Void Slime reprint.
Void Slime I want. Kraj I want for sure. Kraj is kind of hard to find. Especially near mint copies. That card's impossible to find in near mint.
I want the +1/+1 counter creatures, because every time they like put
+1/+1 Cytoplasm Manipulator
in anything.
Yeah,
so it's one of those things where like
Plaxcaster Frogling.
The Simic deck could be terrible, and likely will be, because there's not much value in the Simic to begin with. But that deck could be terrible, and all it takes for them to put a product out that like builds off +1/+1 counters and gives you graft and everything else, and that will just make a bunch of other the Simic cards that didn't get reprinted in these things go up. So
well, there are,
I'm
there,
all about that.
There are two manipulators. There's Cytoplasm Manipulator and Simic Manipulator, and they both like it's like one's like gain control of a creature with a 1/1 counter on it and it has graft, and the other one has evolve and you get a creature with lower power. So, like, those could both be in the deck. Like, the deck actually wouldn't be that bad if you can just, like, steal their creatures that often. So, like, it could be good. Orzhov, I think Jim Casale said on Twitter is probably debtor's knell. There's probably Taza and, like, you know, some stuff like that.
Some Taza.
Maybe some of the Haunt stuff. Maybe, like,
Orzhov,
Sins of the Past or something
maybe,
like that.
But I also think Haunt is just a very difficult mechanic for like the target audience of this product to grasp.
Yeah, Haunt was
true.
A weird mechanic.
Extort's pretty easy.
Extort's very
well. There was
easy,
like there was
pretty.
One. There was like a terror, and then you put it on a creature, and then when that creature dies, you get to terror again. That doesn't
seem but it's very confusing.
Destroy target non-black, non-white creature, and then you put a spirit into play, and then something when the spirit dies, you destroy another non-black, non-white creature. Yes.
No, it's the haunted creature. You don't have to haunt the spirit of Meg.
You can't haunt the spirit.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, so...
The point being, the mechanic is awful.
Gruul? Is there any Gruul card even worth money?
Probably.
Boar Berigmos Enraged is slightly above bulk mythic status.
Because there's like, I mean, there is good Gruul stuff in EDH, but like, there's nothing really in Revenant.
From the guilds, no.
There was like Giant Solifuge and Rumbling Slum and shit like that. Like, I don't even know. Hey guys, we reprinted Burning Tree Shaman. You're welcome. Like, I don't know, man.
I feel like there's some uncommons, right?
Like what?
Burning Tree Emissary, but that's been reprinted to death.
Yeah. No. I thought there was at least one good Gruul uncommon from the original set. Maybe I'm crazy.
Uncommon? No, I can't think of
anything.
Because I
guess if Shattering Spree is it.
Yeah. Well,
Shattering Spree already just got reprinted. It's in the Izzet Guild kit.
I'm just confused. I thought Shattering Spree was a Gruul card.
No, it's
it
got replicate.
Has a quote from Bobo Rigmos on
it,
right.
Doesn't
it?
Does it replicate? Duh. What's that?
Doesn't it have a quote from Bobo Rigmos on it?
Maybe that's why I thought it was Gruul. I don't know.
Yeah, that could it's be possible. It.
But yeah, Rakdos has nothing. Jesus.
What's in Rakdos?
Reign of the Gore. Reign of Gore is worth something. Maybe.
Wasn't there was a cranial extraction that we thought was the best cranial extraction, and then they just went and gave us a better one.
Technically, you could get Infernal Tutor.
No, ooh. It's not gonna happen.
I
don't
know about that.
Please don't. If that's the reprint, I'm gonna be ticked. That means I have to just go buy my Japanese foil copies. I'm waiting for the reprint
there will be
in the Master Set.
Yeah,
I
like,
know
I don't
that's
think
the problem.
Guild
if they reprint it here, they're not gonna put it in the Master Set, which means I have to go and pony up for the fucking $600 Japanese foil ones now.
I thought you said that deck was done.
It is finished. It's just those aren't Japanese. I have one German and three Spanish.
So it's not done.
No, it is done. Everything's Japanese. Or everything's foreign foil. It's just not all Japanese.
It's good, but it's not good enough.
Right. It's not finished, but it's done.
It's
playable.
Done, but it's not finished. Jesus, way to equivocate.
Dude, do you know how hard it is to find some of these cards?
I mean...
like. I have foreign foil of everything in there. There's just some versions that I want to upgrade still. Well,
so,
it's like my Bayou.
So
I don't know if I want my Bayou.
What does a listener do knowing that there's 5 more guild kits going to come out? They're going to have 12 or 13 rares in them. It's going to have a lot of commanders, a lot of uncommon staples that are like $3, $4 cards. What do we do? Do you worry about it, or do you try to dump some of the stuff that you think is likely to be in the deck?
I mean, if it's something like above $5 or $6 and you really have no use for it and it's just sitting in your binder, then yeah, absolutely get rid of it. But I wouldn't, if you're somebody who like plays a Grand Arbiter August in the fourth deck and you play it every now and again, I wouldn't go to sell your copy and then proxy one and then try to buy it back later based on an expecting reprint. I would just acknowledge the fact that the card probably goes down $5 or $6.
But if you're someone like me that just was sorting cards and found 48 copies of Shattering Spree, and you know they're about to go down a little bit,
I
would
hold
feel
them.
Bad. So I'm going to try to avoid feeling bad on anything that's likely to be these other 5 guilds. I don't know what those cards are yet, but like I'm sure if I sit down and think about how I'd construct the deck, if you're telling me like I'm going to have like 4 or 5 Azorius Legends in the deck. What kind of support cards do you have? You can probably figure out pretty close to what they're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, I would just
and even if you just go and pull up each block and look at each card that's in, say, over $5, because anything under $5, you just don't worry about. Whatever, if you had it, you lost a couple of bucks, who cares? And this list is going to be short. I think you're probably looking at 30 cards that aren't Shocklands between the sets.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, in each guild, I should say. Yeah, I mean, that's including uncommon things like Remand and stuff, so I don't think it would take you...
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe Supreme Verdict is in the Azorius deck. That seems like a likely inclusion, but...
But they just got blown out anyway, so... Like,
or D-Sphere.
What did Supreme Verdict
get blown
out in?
What are you going to do, move your Supreme Verdict... Huh?
What did Supreme Verdict get blown out in?
Or, wait, what am I thinking of? What got...
I don't know.
One of them got it in Master 25.
When's the last time Supreme Verdict was printed? What if we had access to the internet? We could look it up so we don't...
I mean,
like
I just...
idiots. It was an Iconic Masters, but it's out of the way
there
back up to, like, $5.
Yeah, but it recovered from that, so...
Yeah,
but it's still, like, $5. It's not, like, that big of a deal. I guess is what I'm saying. And I also don't think these guild kits are going to hurt as much. I mean, obviously not nearly as much as a master set. Certainly not much as a standard.
What will happen is these will get bought up by casual players, and they don't have a tendency to put a lot of those copies into the market. And I don't think these are worth buying from a financial aspect to bust them for singles. Because it's going to be real close to $20 like before the prices tank. And then these will be like $14 decks pretty soon, and it's just not going to be worth it.
Yeah, nobody's going out and like fire selling all their Boros, Charms, or Lightning Helixes because that card was in the deck. I didn't know that card was in the deck until today. I've still been selling consistent Boros, Charms, and Lightning Helixes just because that's a card that nobody's
I think it's Helices.
Well, Helices?
Well,
yeah.
Well, it really doesn't matter, right? Like, you know, say Lightning Helix, Boros, Charm. From a buyer's perspective, too, say I'm a player and I need Boros, Charms, or Lightning Helixes, even if it's for a month away, and I know this product's getting printed before then, like, who cares? I'm spending an extra dollar at most to not get these new copies. I already have them in hand. They're guaranteed. Like, I, again, these kind of products, I don't feel like... I think we can compare it to something more like Arch Enemy.
Yep.
Like, that's really the way this feels, whereas in, like, you look at Arch Enemy Nicol Bolas, yeah, some cards got hit really hard from that, but any card that was... like, you know, already a staple in either Modern, Legacy. Like, look at something like Grim Lavamancer from that. Grim Lavamancer, I believe, is actually more now than it was before it got reprinted in that.
Yeah, like Path to Exile and all those staples just shrug it off.
Yeah. So something like Shattering Spree coming out of this, I'm not concerned about.
Vanquisher's Banner and Explorers of Ixalan is another one that just shrugged it off.
Right, exactly. I think this is going to do that to any of the... So, like, the cards I would worry about are things more like your Grand Arbiter and stuff like that, where it's... you know, it's playable, and that's why it's expensive, but it's also expensive because I haven't seen a reprint since, what, Modern Masters 1?
Yeah.
That's the cards to worry about.
So, I just wouldn't be worried about things like Shattering Spree. All of our tirades?
I forgot, we're two topics deep later, and you're like, no.
I'm bringing it
you
back.
You must give us a breaking bulk. It's a very important segment.
I got a handful of picks here. I'm going to pick one.
I didn't want the listeners to go without three breaking bulks this week. Thank me in the Discord, everyone.
I think it's breaking's bulk.
Breaking Ziz's bulk? Okay.
It's actually Helices bulk.
Episode title right there.
Helices bulk?
How about the title is Ryan doesn't have a breaking bulk pick and he's not doing a good job stalling.
I had one and then...
it got lost in the Cheeto dust.
We got talking, and I completely forgot what it was. Let's continue, and I will interrupt at some point and give you my breaking ball. How's that? No, I'm just looking through a handful of cards to actually find one. So,
well, you guys left it up to me to drive the bus, but we didn't come up with another main topic to talk about after guild kits.
Oh, we're already through all the topics?
Yeah, man.
Now you're really putting pressure on me.
Yeah. So you better cough up a breaking bulk while DJ coughs up a main topic, or we're going to do a 30-minute podcast this week. This is what happens when we don't have Corbin on here to just be like, duh, I'm going to make everything take longer than need to. Did I tell you a 10-minute rambling story about a time that I ordered a cheeseburger at a GP and we're just like...
It's true. This was a very efficient podcast. I will give it that, if nothing else. Like, we blew through all those topics. Like,
maybe we should just cut it off here so that dude on Reddit that says we spend too much time talking about not finance stops not recommending our podcast.
Do we care?
Oh, yeah. We care very much what some dude on Reddit says. Are you kidding me?
Okay, sarcasm. Good.
No, real talk, I do care very much what he says. Why don't you like our podcast? I don't care what you think. You fuck, but why don't you like it? Not that it matters, but tell us why. But not that I care.
But
I've been thinking about what you said a lot. Nah, I don't...
That I was thinking about. Channel Fireball recently announced, somewhat last minute, that they were changing the format of Vancouver at the end of the year. It was originally supposed to be Team Limited, and now it has just been changed to Limited, which means that there's a lot of people who had flights booked, there's a lot of people who were excited to play with their friends, and this GP, and now it is just, they're going to be playing by themselves. I mean, Channel Fireball's made a lot of interesting decisions regarding the GP circuit over the past year. What do you guys think of this one?
That one I like. I think a lot of it probably comes from their predictive ability to look at these Canadian GPs, which have had lower attendance the past couple, and go, you know, if we do team limited, A, it's in Vancouver.
We're team limiting the number of people that'll want to play in the event, huh?
Right. Like, sometimes it's a good thing, and I think if it's an easily accessible city, team limited is great, but I think when you put these restrictive formats on places that are not necessarily the most accessible, you really cut down the number of people who are going to go to these events. So I'm a pretty big fan of this one.
So
I think it was the right
call. You think you just take the PR hit and as opposed to just taking the actual
I don't think it's a hit? PR hit. I think you spin it the other direction. You say, look, we've looked at what the players want, and, you know, in these remote areas, these kind of formats don't really fly. We want more people to have access to Magic. I think you spin this as, like, you are paying attention to what's going on. And I think anyone who argues with that just isn't seeing what GPs in Canada have been doing over the past year. So
yeah, they're noticing trends. I like the fact that they're nimble. Like, I'm sorry about your flight, but, like, just go to the GP anyway, go hang out. Like,
there's also no legacy
it sucks
GP
those people
though. They haven't announced an actual legacy GP, and that's definitely a format where you have more enfranchised players, you have people that work like a 9-to-5 or just like a regular job where you have to, like, you're more an older player base, I guess, for legacy GPs, and those are the kind of players that would rather take off a weekend in advance, like over the course of 6 months or a year in advance. And there's been some backlash over the GP schedule because of that, because these players want to know when the legacy GP is so they can schedule it.
I think they're trying to fit in they're trying to incorporate their Magic Fest idea into, like, the GP schedule, so there's going to be some friction there the first year they do it, and it's tough. They're not doing a great job.
It'll get better over time.
I mean, they did call it a transition year.
It is a transition year. And, like, I mean, and some people are going to be upset. Like, people in Australia pissed that there's fewer Pacific GPs. Like, I don't know. Every change is going to piss somebody off. So don't even make the mistake of saying that you think a change is good or bad, because just stay out of it. So we should stay out of it. I'm sorry some people that had a flight booked to Vancouver don't get to go play a stupid team limited event that nobody wants to play, judging by the 40 people at GP Detroit. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Like, everything's bad for somebody. And we certainly don't want to ignore somebody's perspective by saying that we like a change that's for the better. So let's just stay out of it. Who cares? Sorry about your flight. Right? Like, what financially relevant even comes out of that, right?
Yeah, I mean, nothing really.
No, I mean, that's fair.
Alright, so I have my Breaking Bulk. I found a card.
You found a card!
I bought you time.
I like this card a lot. So, Scourge, Uncommon, Black.
Unspeakable Symbol.
Dang, this kid is good. I've always liked this card. It's still consistently the same price.
I told you I played Marchesa
up last time.
Yeah, it's a Marchesa card, but, like, yeah, anything with, like, Undying... What's the one where this is better?
This was worth money before Marchesa.
No, I know, but she's the one that made it spike.
It didn't know. It was worth the same amount. This has always been like a dollar for a really long time.
The foil spiked for sure, I think.
That's plausible. Because
I
didn't
know
if it received a reprint yet.
Like,
so
$20.
Oh.
This was like 4 years ago.
Of foil garbage prices.
This is still under $1 retail most places, but, like, it wasn't always
a
pick.
It's like $1.30, $1.40 on TCG, I think. But, yeah, it's always been a fine pick, but
these are 30 cents on Card Kingdom.
Really? You can buy them for 30 cents? Near mint?
Or near mint, 20 available. 28 cents
really?
EX, so, yep.
That's insane, because that used to be where I sold them to.
Well, they probably got a lot, because you're like, oh, you want these? Here's 250.
Oh, I don't think we ever got that much of a card
like
this.
We got these in bulk for years. These was just... They're in bulk for years. This is also a $6 foil, so people are clearly aware that it's an EDH card.
Yeah, they're buying it for 6 cents now. Huh. Fair.
Yep. I've been sitting on these because, like, nobody's super eager to take him now.
Yeah, but this is also just the kind of card that if you have a TCG player storefront, you can throw it in there at like 89, 99 cents. And as you add more to your inventory, and as you add more cards that synergize with this, it's more likely to be picked up by a player who's ordering 5 or 6 cards from you. And then you get a lot more bang for your buck when you ship it out in a plain white envelope with no tracking on like a $10 order. And you get sort of the full like 67, 80 cents for this card as opposed to buy listing it. And especially if you're not in a rush to sell it and if you only have like 2 or 3 copies.
Yeah. Legit.
I like it.
All right, what else we got to talk about? Are we just jumping finance segment to finance segment?
This is a finance podcast. I like it. What non-finance do you want to talk about, Ryan?
Well,
we've
pretty much covered
all the Mighty Ducks movies in the last couple of years. So,
but I'm saying we can go from Breaking Bulk right into Pick of the Week.
We can talk about Sears going bankrupt.
Yeah.
No need to talk about that. That just turns into politics. That'll anger me.
Did I have something ready? Was I ready to ding Trump by saying that Steven Mnuchin was on Sears board for years and he picked him to be his Treasury Secretary? Did I have that locked and loaded? Perhaps.
Yeah. Did I know that you had that locked and loaded? Absolutely.
But where's Corbyn to bring his centrist perspective in? That's what we need in every political... We just alienated half our audience. That's a quote you guys can hear in Brainstorm Brewery episode 200 part 2, which just went live this week Monday, which is today that we record this, today. But like a couple days ago, listen to this. So like you probably got it in your podcasting app or whatever, but if you haven't listened to Brainstorm Brewery episode 200 part 2, it came out after episode 300, if that tells you anything about how much work Marcel put into it. So
you also may want to go back and listen to part 1 again, considering it's been what, like 3 months since we released it?
It's been a long time.
Six.
Whatever.
It's been a long time. So let's not alienate half our listeners by talking about politics.
About nude man leaps into Toronto aquarium shark tank, swims laps with the sharks before giving police the slip.
You know, as much as Corbyn is just dog shit on this podcast and it adds nothing, when he's not here, we don't have topics. We sat for 15 minutes before this podcast started and I was like, what is our segment going to be between Breaking Bulk and Pick of the Week? And you guys are like, we can talk about and that took 10 seconds.
You're misidentifying. Well, we could talk about some more. We didn't even touch on Vegas. I said you could and you were like, nobody in finance, not
Vegas,
relevant.
Vegas is happening. So why don't we
announce the listeners what weekend so we can start prepping for that?
So here's what we can do. What's the level for the party, DJ, the Patreon goal? Is it 1750 or 2000? What was it?
Talk slower so I can find it before you. There's a dead silence.
Okay, everyone. There we go. I talked too slow. You didn't tell me how slow to talk. When our Patreon at patreon.com/brainstormbrewery gets to $2,000 per month, which we think is an achievable goal based on the number of people who listen to this podcast and have a dollar to give us, we are going to throw a special party at a Grand Prix where we're going to invite lots of people, but our patrons will early.
Corbin put it at $1,750. Cool.
Okay. $1,750 then, super achievable. That's very close. What we should do is we should push for that now because we can't plan for it until we hit the goal and we got to pick a GP and we don't want to pick a GP that happens like, you know, in the past. We're like, oh, we'll do St. Louis and then we don't hit 1750. So if you want to be a part of this,
we're not doing GP party, St. Louis. Don't threaten people with that.
Indianapolis. Yeah. You'll get shot in the face in St. Louis, Indianapolis probably, or God forbid, Vegas. Vegas would be a good place to do it because we're all going to already be there, but there's too much going on in Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. Not Vegas.
But we might have to resort to Vegas, which is in like November or something, way later. It's like August or something?
It's August.
July? August, Jesus.
I mean,
it'll be in August next year, but like we would like to pick a good GP.
Renting out a ballroom or
something? So we need to get our Patreon up to $1,750.
We can do it in Detroit.
Detroit? Yeah, that's
good
for you.
It's a good time of year. It's actually, we have a lot of people come to Detroit. It's very centralized.
We just had GP Detroit 2 months ago.
Yeah, and it's in August of next year.
Okay, so Ryan clearly doesn't think that we'll get to 1750 before, like, 11 months from now.
It's got to hold there for like 3 months, right? And then you got to start planning it.
Wow. We would like to get to 2000 so we can do the episode where our wives come on and shit talk us.
Oh, that's happening? Oh,
that's
boy.
At 2000. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It'll happen.
I might have to front load those numbers again.
Whether they know it or not, it's happening.
I mean, we didn't think we'd get to 500 a year ago, right? I didn't think we would get to 500 a year ago. So, like, we're obviously blown away by the amount we're getting. But we want to give you guys an incentive to push it. We want to give you guys something to strive for. So let's strive for 1750 so we can pick an event, start planning a party. We're going to spend all the money you guys give us every year. That's what we do. We just blow all of it. So let's blow all of it on you guys. The patrons will get access to the party early. They'll drink for free or something. We'll make it worth it for the patrons. And then you just get to party with other magic people. Plus us, we'll deign to mingle with you in real life. So
if you're a $10 patron, I'll let you bridge shuffle my Gauntie deck and play it unsleeved. Maybe.
Mingling. If you're a $40 patron, I will make eye contact with you. There's all kind of perks you get, so...
Is that really a perk? I've had your eye contact before. Hard pass.
Which one of your eyes, Ryan?
Not some sort of Corbin. Only has one good one.
Do have the astigmatism, though, so... All right.
Yeah, they both shake. Like my legs.
Alright. This is anyway. Real... This is good after hours.
D-Gen City. But no, I mean, that's cool. I'm excited. Parties. I'm actually more excited now about the wife episode, I think. I'm a little sad that Marcel's not going to be around for that one, because his girl would be the one I'd be more excited to hear. Granted, we've probably also heard her the most on the cast before.
Just yelling in the background at
her. Yeah. Oh, many a times if we heard Marcel, it's just like, oh, we know you're in the shit. Usually it's before we record, so most of our listeners don't get that pleasure, but...
Ryan's talking about some shit from 2 years ago when Marcel was on the cast regularly. He would just be trying to start the episode and the girl would be yelling at him for the other room.
Oh, it was good times. Yeah. But no.
Now he's got another girl yelling at him from another room.
Yeah. Well, that's what babies do.
Boy, we ran out of steam. Who cares, right? Magic sucks.
It's a lull. I mean, until we have the Pro Tour, everyone's just kind of like brewing right now. Prices are moving, but nothing's like going to hit until we start getting some real results. And next couple of weeks are going to be exciting, but we're really in that like eye of the storm right now.
Guilds is doing nothing for EDH, so we have nothing to talk about there. We don't know what is done to standard yet.
Well, and like we got all the hypothesis out of the way, right? So there's all these cards like Experimental Frenzy or whatever that started off at bulk. That have like shot up to that $3, $4, $5 range, Steamkin, stuff like that. And then there's the cards that, you know, were a little overvalued at first, and those have started coming down, you know, even your Assassin's Trophy.
Mission Briefing.
Right, stuff like that. But everything's really an adjustment period until we see what's going on with the Pro Tour. So like for the last week or so, and probably for the next week or so, there's really not going to be much adjustment because everybody's kind of got the cards they want to brew with until they see results from actual pros and stuff. No one has any reason to change. It might be moving some cards around here and there, but I highly doubt you're going to see somebody pick up a brand new archetype next week when they just built their last deck, you know, last week. They're going to wait for some results before they do that. And so I think it's a good time to just, you know, settle in, get the cards you want. And this will be a tie into my pick of the week, but I think there's a number of cards in guilds now that are okay to jump on. And, you know, even if they go down a little bit, I think that there's just as good of a chance that the tournament results from the Pro Tour and stuff could drive some of these cards up.
Should I talk slow so you can type in the email password? At least DJ's not Corbin. Corbin's like, oh, we should read emails. Let me go get a separate computer and have that with me next to this. He has to go get his laptop because he doesn't want to type in a password.
This one's pretty old. I can buy it sometime. This one's about a month old.
All right. Are they a patron? How bad should I feel about not reading it for a month?
Slightly.
Okay.
From Jace Kent. Hey, Brew Crew, love the cast, and have a question about a couple random cards. I'm putting together a full set of Weatherlight, which is really weird and specific, but okay, and came across the card Tariff. This is where you make Jason or Corbin read the card, because that's what BSB does. Jason, read the card.
Let me pull up Tariff. I'm sans Tariff right now. Well. Each player chooses a creature with the highest converted mana cost he or she controls, then pays mana equal to the cost, or sacks the creature. It was reprinted in 6th edition, which probably could have something to do with the fact that it's under a dollar.
I understand it's a symmetrical effect, but this seems super powerful in Super Friends and other non-creature-based decks in EDH. Will this card ever be worth more than a dollar? For what it's worth, it's not on the reserve list. Also, while on the subject of underrated white removal, what do you think of the top end of Ixalan's Binding could be a standard rotates? Sent from my voice-activated, touchscreen-equipped, vibration-enabled, internet-controlled porn viewer. Sent from my iPhone.
Wow. That card sucks, man. It's worse than... You got so much white removal you could play. Like, why would you ever play something like that?
Ixalan's Binding is not an EDH card.
No. Oh, no, it's not. Like, I was talking about Tariff, though.
Oh, that card, too, yeah. I don't like either of
these. Yeah, no, I mean, I really thought I was expecting Jason to come in and be like, yeah, I could put it in this deck and this deck, and we have to, like, tear him down, but I completely agree.
Oh, it's garbage. It's garbage. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Like,
I'm
it's sorry. Not even sometimes guaranteed cards removal. Are bad. Like, if you're in the late game and your opponent has, like, two creatures in play and one of them costs four mana, like, there's a reasonable chance they have four mana just sitting there.
Yeah, I mean, you get Swords, you get Path, you get, like, Merciless Eviction.
Right,
you get
and I assume it's not an instant, command, so you can't, like...
You get, like, all these other... You get Oblivion Ring, you get...
I would play Oblation over this.
Yeah, you get
Oblivion I would play Ring, a lot. I would play, like, Sphere, Reciprocate get, over this card.
You get Anguished Unmaking, you get all these other...
No, just, like...
I understand that it hits everybody, and that's like, good, but...
Yeah, Cataclysm is a symmetrical effect. Like, symmetrical effects aren't always bad, but this is just too symmetrical.
It's a symmetrical and just a Punisher effect. And Punisher effects are already questionable. And then a Punisher
apparently,
effect...
unless they have Jumpstart, and then they're amazing.
Right, and that's why, well, that's why I say questionable, right? But, like, no Punisher effect is really that good in EDH.
Torment the Hailfire is technically a Punisher effect.
Yeah, okay. You're getting punished by letting me have a...
Sure, but that's like an extreme, right? Like,
I know,
that's
I know.
Not a you pay six life or you do this. It's like literally you're dead no matter
no,
what.
No, I know.
You do.
That card is add one mana, deal nine damage. That the ratios in that card are absurd.
Right, right. And so, I mean, I feel like Punisher mechanics already are pretty suspect, especially for multiplayer. And this one is a Punisher effect that, like, even if you're sitting at, say, a four player table, if you're playing a deck with any creatures, it could hit you. And if you're not, great, but, like, there's, you know, just play Wrath at that point. Why is your one mana matter that much? And you're probably going to hit maybe one other player at the table that's impactful, or that just swords that creature. Because, like, you're going to get maybe two ancillary creatures off the other two players, best set case scenario, and probably at least one of those two creatures didn't matter at all.
Yep, that sounds all right to me. So, yeah, we're not big on Tariff. It's cool that you came across it, trying to put together a set of Weatherlight, but this is under a buck
for a reason. We do not have any additional emails in the bank, so send us emails at brainstormbrew@gmail.com. We will prioritize patron emails, but...
You can send us an email every week if you're a patron, and I think a lot of people are taking advantage of the fact that they can just ask us anything they want in Discord, but, like... We can read your email on the podcast. Say your name on the podcast. We're not saying if you don't send us an email.
Yeah, if you talk poorly of us in the Discord, we will read it and talk poorly about you back. But if you want to meme or mention recurring jokes, or if you want to shit talk Corbin and talk about his milk addiction, all of these things will be said on air if you actually send us an email. Also... There is a perk where instead of an email, if you want to send an audio clip, that works.
Oh, too. Yeah, that's been a zero people have
we
taken
thought
us
that
up
was
that.
Such a cool idea.
Yeah, I know. We were like, oh, we could play the audio clips, and we discussed the mechanics of like the technological hurdles to getting that implemented, and we finally figured out how we would do that technologically, played on the cast, and everyone's just like, no, suck my entire ass, Brainstorm Brewery. You get no audio.
Yep, that's exactly what they said.
They did.
Sander sent in a video clip, but he thought that weird. He thought he would get priority, but he's not a patron higher than the $10 level. So send us emails.
We should play it because Sander's a super fan. You don't piss off your super fans because those are the people that turn into super stans and they know where you live.
Yeah, he certainly knows where we all live. He has my address. Yeah. Well, no, he has my old address.
He's like, oh, can I buy a card from you? And then...
Yeah.
He's wearing your wife's face as a mask when you get home, which is fine.
Is it?
Yeah, man, that's fine.
Wow, that's a like, different
don't,
reaction.
Certainly don't kill my wife in front of my daughter. Like, I don't need that. Like, I don't need to explain to my daughter why mommy's dead but daddy's not all that upset. Like, I don't need to have that conversation.
Just make it like Dexter season 4 finale, where you don't tell them until like a week after they get back from Disneyland.
Yeah, take her. Yeah, I'll take my daughter to Disneyland. She's like, when's mommy coming home? Well, she's not. This is new mommy. She's 2 years younger than old mommy.
If he's wearing your, you know, if he's wearing her face, it's kind of like mommy, right?
Oh, yeah. I think Sander would be a good cohabiting domestic partner. He wouldn't want to live here because our healthcare sucks, though. But
I mean, he'd be just as miserable with you as she is. So, I mean, solved.
Yeah. And I don't have to change any of my behavior. That'd be good.
Right. I mean, yeah, we won't go any further with that because I go down to the dark hole.
This is a dark road.
That would be a good movie plot. Like a super fan just like moves into... like after a week, they're like, I need to leave. You do not pick up your socks. I'm like, yeah, well, my real wife who had that face before said the same shit. This is yeah. Nothing new.
Yeah, you're not allowed to leave. Like, it turns out, like, you think at the beginning of the movie that, you know, the super fan's gonna come in, they're gonna call the cops or whatever, and, like, get this dude arrested. The guy's like, nah, you can just stay, it's no big deal, whatever, didn't care that much about her. And then, like, by the end, the super fan is actually the victim.
I won't let him leave.
No, go do the laundry again!
But, that's a good Halloween time movie plot.
It's like a, it's a Misery spinoff where it's just like...
Yeah. But it's like, it's combining Misery with the dude who broke into Stephen King's house with a box full of pencil erasers and popsicle sticks that he said was a bomb.
Wait, what?
Some dude broke into Stephen King's house and he said he had a bomb, but it was just like... It was like pencil erasers and like paper clips and stuff like this that like he's like, it's a bomb, Stephen King. Yeah, he was just like in his house. So now Stephen King has a gate, I guess. Or a dog named Cujo. I don't know what he's doing to protect himself. But yeah, like it's a combination of that and Misery. Like the guy busts in, he's like, yeah, I don't care about your bomb, but like put on that apron and do some dishes. Chop chop. And then he's breaking the dude's ankles because he tried to get away. I like it. You've seen Misery, by the way, but you haven't seen Star Wars?
I have never seen Misery. I just know the plot.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
What do you mean, what do I mean? Why do you know the plot for Misery?
Because it seemed interesting, so I just read about it on Wikipedia instead of watching it.
Instead of reading a book?
He's got a fetish for hobbling.
I'm not reading a book like a fucking virgin, but I will read a plot summary. All right, cool, man. That's super
like, I
cool.
Just wanted to know how it ended, so I just...
What is wrong with you?
She runs over a cop with a lawnmower. I think that's how it ended.
God, you are...
That's when I came, anyway. What?
DJ, you are the worst of people sometimes.
I'm okay with that.
I just want to know how it ended, so I refuse to watch the movie. What's wrong with you?
It's more efficient. It's better EV.
What are you, a robot?
Yeah, you're right.
Emotions are inefficient. Must slap wife.
Like, you have to have your... If you have to have your entertainment come in efficiency, then there's a problem. Speaking of entertainment, though, and something I know you're happy about, and C9. I know that, like, C9. Probably, yeah, only about 20% of our listeners probably give a shit about, but Cloud9, first North American team in a while to make the top 8, right?
No, they made it last week, or they made it last year.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought
yeah, but they didn't do well last year, did they?
They died in the quarterfinals last year, but this year was a quite...
Oh,
the...
they made the quarterfinals.
I mean, quarterfinals is top 8.
Yeah, but they but this year they were
the
definitely not supposed to make it.
This year. It was very ridiculous. They
arguably the two hardest teams going in were in their four for the team part of it.
Yeah.
And they came out.
It was
in
a
4-team
group, and they slaughtered both of the Korean teams that they were predicted to just get killed by.
Yeah, the one Korean team didn't actually make it to the elimination round,
and it was last year's world champions.
Yeah,
they just
that's crazy.
I think the Koreans just have better internet. I think that's all there is to it. They have really
no,
good internet.
They, no,
we have poor internet.
It's the dedication to the life. It's the lifestyle dedication. I mean,
yeah,
I get it.
In those cultures,
also,
when you spend time doing something,
Their internet.
I mean, that's why maybe. Like,
it's like, how are they doing that on StarCraft? It's like, oh no, they're in the future. They have fiber. That's why. We have bad internet. I mean, they are in the future, US.
But just because they literally have played so many games that every time you do something, they know exactly how to respond to it.
Also, it's GMT plus like 6 or 7 in Korea, so it's like literally tomorrow.
Sure.
So they are in our future, technically.
Or are we in their future?
Oh! Sorry, that was a Keanu Reeves noise. Oh! 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 You guys have picks of the week?
Pick of the week, pick of the week, pick of the week. Time for the pick of the week.
Yeah, I've got one.
What do you mean, you sure? Just... You were literally supposed to... That, you had one job.
I was just thinking if we had other things to talk about. No, I've had a pick of the week. I'm still like, I'm not sure if this is the week to fire it off, but I know it's going to be in sucks? The next...
This episode was terrible, and Corbin wasn't here, and he's going to be like, oh, that's what happens when I'm not around. I hate that this episode is bad.
No, he doesn't ever have to know about it, to be fair.
No.
Someone's going to tell him.
Who?
One of these narcs in the Discord is going to tell him, like, man, that episode's kind of weak, Corbin. We need you around. Who's going to go first with their pick of the week?
I'll go first.
Okay.
I'm not sure, like I said, I'm not going to be on the cast in the next couple weeks for sure, so I'm just making this pick now, but I don't necessarily know that this is the perfect time to pick up. I think it has like maybe another dollar to drop, but my pick of the week is Divine Visitation. I mean, I know like Guilds of Ravnica, everybody's sick of talking about it, but while this card is not nearly as cool as like, you know, Parallel Lives, and you don't just do its own cute things, it is also a mythic rare, which makes a big difference, and it does have to do with tokens, so it's automatically going to be worth money. I think this bottoms out at like low of 4. I think at $4 you just start buying, and certainly it's for 2 years, and I don't expect it to get a reprint between now and then. I guess you're always risking that. It is kind of a generic card, but at the same time, being mythic, I think protects it a little bit from that, hopefully.
This feels like Alhamarat's archive style of just like casual Dirtle Fest that just
like over time. And the reason I say pick this up now is almost exactly like you said, the Alhamarat's archive. There are certain cards where, and I'm not saying this is good in standard at all. Now, it is certainly plausible that this card sees some play in standard if there's the right deck that lines up for it. That is definitely a part of the reason you pick it up now, but also just because we're seeing a lot of these casual staples no longer wait until rotation to hit their bottom. They almost hit their bottom right as they're printed. Like shortly after, within a month or two. Because we see a lot of them through standard, they just either hold value or things like Alhamarat's Archive, I believe, went up some while it was in standard because it, you know, either saw some play in a deck or just started getting hyped, you know, outside of standard play. And we're not having rotation hitting the same way that it used to 4 or 5 years ago, where it was very trackable to a point where you could say, like, okay, now is the exact time you pick these cards up every year, and you didn't really have to vary from that. Now there are different times you pick up different kinds of cards, and I believe these casual staples that you know are absolutely going to hit, everyone identifies this, nobody's surprised that this is a card, everyone read this on a spoiler and went, this is going to be worth money. Now you're just playing the game of how low does it go, and how much and how high can it go? And I think this can easily be a $10 card in the next 2 years.
I like it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's one of those cards that you just see coming a mile away, and even though it's a mythic, it probably just like ends up Parallel Lives money, and I don't know if you can buy it as cheap as you could on Parallel Lives, but...
Right, and that's why I think solid. $4 is your low instead of what, Parallel Lives hit 2 or 3?
Well, I think when we're peak supply, I think is your time to buy it. I think it can probably still go down a little bit. Like, you probably don't get hosed too much if you buy it now, and if it does buy in more... Or if it does go down more, just buy in more, and then your average cost goes down even more.
Yep.
Yeah, and part of the reason I say now over waiting that month is just because, like you said, it doesn't go down much more, but we do have the Pro Tour coming up. Heaven forbid there is any sighting of this card even in a sideboard somewhere. It doesn't have to do well. It doesn't have to do anything. If this card sees play, it's never dropping below $5.
Then because, it pulls an Anointed Procession, and I didn't buy in, and then Anointed Procession hit in standard, and then I went for...
Yeah. And it hit multiple times, right? Like, you could have bought an Anointed Procession and sold out 3 or 4 different times, but it's hard to predict when it's actually seeing standard play because you just can't follow those trends along with casual. So I think this is just a safe time to buy in now to guarantee that, A, you know, you're getting it at a reasonable price, but also that you're getting your copies. The closer you wait to the Pro Tour, we all know there can be issues, and especially when you're talking about Mythics, people oversell, or they just aren't going to give it to you because a Mythic has a chance from going from, you know, $3, $4, $5 to $20 as opposed to a Rare that's going to go from $3, $4, $5 to $8, and they're still going to ship them.
Yep. Jason?
I told you guys basically what mine was. I said it was a card that can go in Azoni and Amara and Trastani decks and is on the reserve list. Was that enough information for you guys to guess?
I mean, some sort of...
Gaia's Cradle.
I don't think...
Okay. The card is Sentinel Hierophants. It is a 4-mana 3/2 druid. Each creature you control gains tap, add green to your mana pool, play this ability as a mana source. This is a, you know, this is a Cryptolith right on feet. It's getting played, man. It's a buck 50 for a reserve list card.
I know what it is. I just can't. There we go. Sentinel Hierophants.
I mean, I understand that as a reserve list card, but I would never play this personally.
Okay, well, DJ won't play it. Fuck me, right?
No, I like this card. This is great. Yeah. There's also approximately...
Earthcraft is $75.
There's also approximately, like... if you look at just playsets of this card, there's less than 25.
I'm not saying it doesn't go up. I'm just saying I think people who are buying this to play with are making poor decisions.
I think this is fine. It's
I think this is fine,
four
too.
Mana to play instead of two, but you can swing with it. You can tap it. Like I mean, it's got that over Cryptolith, right? You can tap it.
Cryptolith, right, also makes any color.
Sure. I don't know. I agree with Jason on this one. I like it.
The but it's going in two-color decks. Like, not being able to make any color is not that great in two-color. Not that necessary two-color decks.
On top of that, but if you're talking something like, what's the... Did you say Azoni? Is that the green-black legend?
The green-black one, yeah.
Yeah, like, things like that. Like, anything, time you're making tokens. And this card just feels like it could be okay anyway. And maybe just... Maybe it's kind of been lost in all the reserve list shuffle. Because it's not, you know, it's not a particularly outstanding card. It's, I think it's very playable, though. And for $1, I think it's, or $2, it's absolutely perfectly fine buy-in.
No, I think it's a fine buy at $1. I just don't think it's a very good card.
I mean, well, I don't think it's a very good card either.
Paradigm Shift, but apparently someone's like, yeah, Paradigm Shift, and they just bought all the copies. And then everyone on Twitter is like, yeah, I could probably pretend this will be playable. And then Paradigm Shift is $6. So you know what?
Yeah, that's...
This is an actual card that actually will be played in decks and is actually good. So don't buy Paradigm Shift. Buy a playable card that three of the eight commanders from the latest set could use this.
And
buy
Cryptolith
Right, too. Shit. Buy your $78 Earthcrafts.
And that's the thing. It's like, this isn't the card you're trading out Cryptolith Rights in your deck for. You're playing this alongside Cryptolith Rights.
Oh, yeah.
I don't...
It's copy number three. I think people just ignored this for years.
Yeah. No, that's why I think it's fine. Like, it's a little fragile, it costs a little more than you want to spend, but it's also giving an ability that is very unique, and there's not a lot of things that Magic give you, so.
My pick of the week is partially based on the fact that we haven't seen any Orzhov cards yet. I don't really like to pick standard cards very often, but this is also just sort of a card that's been creeping up slowly as a casual all-star, and so it does have legs even if it doesn't end up seeing standard play. Alenda the Dusk Rose has quietly become a $7 card instead of a $4 card over the past few months.
Yeah,
and that's great. I think this card hits 10 before anything else. It makes vampires. It's a very strong card, and just it's not a good commander, but it goes in the 99 of vampire decks very well. People love slapping Blade of the Bloodchief on this thing just for the pure dream living scenario, and it's
well, it kind of depends on whether the new Orzhov ability is more like Haunt or more like Extort. If it's more like Haunt, this will be very good.
I mean, I don't even think it necessarily depends on a core mechanic. Orzhov, just in general, it can be a strategy of, like, we have good new green and black and white cards for an Abzan deck. We could have, like, a Esper Control deck. We could have just some sort of, like, deck. It doesn't require... There's no, like, Undergrowth deck. There's no, like, shell of Jumpstart decks or whatever. It's not like you build decks around a specific mechanic. You just need a core shell of... a core shell of Orzhov cards that make this card viable enough.
Why does every white 1/1 token need lifelink now? It just makes Limited so miserable. It's so hard to beat that. It made sense for the vampires, but then they're like, oh, what if soldiers had lifelink? Yeah? Why do they have lifelink? Because they're soldiers.
Well, I mean, I think part of that was a balance design issue that they had, and they needed to find a way to make it so that the soul or the token tribes were able to keep up with some of the tribes that have the flyers and stuff like that. I think for limited, it's actually a great balance. I've been a big fan of it with guilds.
I think Dawn of Hope is actually an unbeatable card. If I'm across from that, I just feel like I should concede.
Is that Aurelia?
No, in limited.
Right, oh, Dawn of Hope's the enchantment. Yeah, I got you. It absolutely can be. It's like when you get to draft, it's on. I don't want to say it's too slow, but it definitely, unless you're getting ahead already, it's not going to save you in the game. In sealed, though, it is game breaking. And I will happily take it in draft too. I'm not saying it's unplayable. It's just a little slower. What do you think about that card long term?
Dawn of Hope. It's bulk rare.
Nah, it's got to be great.
It's
right?
A rare.
It says draw a card when you gain a life though.
Don't you need to pay mana?
Yeah. You got to pay two colors or something like that. I don't like it long term. It's just one of those cards that's like really annoying and limited. But I just
Well of Lost Dreams is worthless, and that's a lot more card draw.
That's fair. Well, that's also been reprinted, right?
It was worthless before it got reprinted, unfortunately. I always liked that card, and then it just never went anywhere.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just too...
Sometimes we like cards, and they don't go anywhere. Sometimes DJ says Radiant Destiny sucks, and it becomes a $6 card. You just never know what stuff's going to do. I think that's about a podcast, fellas. What do you say?
Yeah, it seems like a podcast to me.
Yep.
DJ, do you agree that what we recorded was technically a podcast?
I was just going to say technically a podcast.
Jeez.
Well, we fulfilled our obligation to you. If you would fulfill your obligation to us and go to patreon.com.
Fulfill one more obligation to me. And what's something we can make people tweet at Corbin to make him feel like he missed something?
Oh, just make up a... Tweet the hashtag milkfart. Hashtag milk fart.
And tag
just tweet
him.
That at Corbin a lot. Yeah, just to be like, man, this episode was one of the best one ever. Hashtag milk fart. And he'll listen to the whole episode.
Or just be like, I can't believe they told that story about the time you shit yourself when you drank too much milk or something like that. Like, people just need to come up with like little drops like that and just...
No,
really have to lead him along.
The more mystery, the better. I'm with J.J. Abrams.
I don't think so. I think if you give too much mystery, Corbin, like, you literally have to be like, Corbin, this is a thing that happened on the podcast for there to be any chance for him to listen to this podcast.
I don't want him to listen. I want him to not know because I know he won't listen no matter what. So I need him to ask people what milk fart is, and I need you guys all to be cool and not tell him.
Yep.
If this episode could be titled... Hashtag milk fart, that's probably not great for no one's going to download that, so don't do that. So in conclusion, hashtag milk fart, tweet that at Corbin. You're going to have to send your stuff back into Teespring, get a credit, and order new stuff. I'm sorry about that. I wish I could do more for you other than reimburse you for your shipping costs and the hassle of going to the post office. That's a pain in the dick. Nobody wants that. I'm sorry to do that to you. I would think that t-shirts will fit in a flat rate envelope and t-shirts and a hoodie will fit in a medium flat rate box. Folded up nice. Just wadded, jammed up in there. Sorry to do that to you. I'll reimburse your shipping costs and we will get you good looking shirts. The glasses, they said it would take 2 to 4 weeks to make them and send them to me. So I'll get those out to everybody just as soon as I can. I don't think we have any other business than that. Thanks so much for listening to another episode of this podcast. And, I don't know, we're done, right? Can we just, like, do a slow fade?
Hashtag milk fart.
Hashtag milk fart. Can we just, like, just fade out? The music gets louder and, like, our voices get softer and then, like, you know, we don't have to do a real hard cutoff.
Fade music.
Yeah.